So it's 1 Corinthians verses 4 to 9. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know about you, I hate that feeling that I'm missing something. I often kind of think that, what am I missing here? And I think up on the screen we've got some things that might be missing something. So we've got a jigsaw there. Okay, boys and girls, I don't know if anyone can help me with this. Who is missing there? What piece is missing? Can you see who's missing? Oh, sorry, Anne, can I? There we go, thank you. Who's that missing there, Gabriel? Is it Marshall?
Zuma!
It's Zuma, brilliant. Well done, good Paw Patrol knowledge. Okay,
there was it.
All right, there we go. Who's missing there? Anyone know? Sophia? Sorry?
Marshall!
It's Marshall, it is Marshall. Well done. So there he is back again. So there's been pieces missing. When we look at those jigsaws with a piece missing, it's obvious something is missing, isn't there? There's something that should be there, that we need to be there, but it's not there. Let's play a game. I've got a tray here, and because we can't really all kind of crowd around it at the moment, I am going to take something away from it. So you might like to have a look at the tray up on the screen. Can everyone in Zoom world see that all right? Okay, so I've got a trowel there. I've got a dice, a very small football, a star, a car. There's a teddy crocodile, a Harry Potter book. There is an Olympic Playmobil weightlifter and a couple of pencils. All right, everyone got that? All right, now I'm going to take something away. There we go. If I take that away, it's gone the wrong way again, haven't I? Sorry, there we go. All right, boys and girls, grown ups, anyone tell me what's missing? What have I taken away?
I know.
Anyone see what's missing? Anyone with a very good memory? James?
It's the star.
It is the star. Oh, very good. Very good. There's the star. If we go on to the next picture, it'll reappear magically. There we go. All right. Shall we... hang on. Let's see. Actually, I won't do it on the thing, but... Okay. Anyone spot what's missing there?
Yeah.
Anyone see what's...
Pencils.
Well done, Gabriel. You're absolutely right. It was the pencils that were missing. Okay. That question, what am I missing? What has been taken away here is a really important one sometimes to ask. It's horrible when you're missing something. I sometimes go out, where are my keys? What have I done with my keys? I can't find my keys. That's a horrible feeling. I was out with some friends once and we were having a cup of tea in a nice cafe. It was by the Thames. It was lovely. It was very posh. And we had a lovely time catching up. And then my friend's wife turned around at the end of the meal and went, where's my handbag? It's a horrible feeling. She was missing her handbag. Someone had taken it. Maybe, boys and girls, you know what it's like if you go to bed and you're missing your favourite teddy? Isn't that, that's sad, isn't it? It's horrible. What am I missing? And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to his friends in a church in Corinth. And do you know what? That church had a lot of problems. They had an awful lot of problems. So they were arguing with each other the whole time. It was so bad. Some of them were taking others to court. Some people were doing some very dodgy things with other family members. Their marriages were in all kinds of trouble. They were in the middle of a very ungodly culture. Corinth was a very difficult place to live as a Christian. And the question comes, what were they missing? What were they missing? how you'd answer that. And what are we missing? I mean, our problems are different, aren't they? They don't look exactly the same. But in our struggles, what are we missing as a church, as individuals? What are we missing? And Paul gives the answer that no one was expecting. Absolutely astonishing. You ready for this? Once you guys are ready for this, have a look. What's on the screen? I've messed up my slides again. What's on the screen? Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh yeah, there are some white dots. They're not meant to be there. You're right. What are we missing? Paul says we're missing nothing. Absolutely zip. Nada. There is nothing that we need to live for Jesus that we don't already have. And so we think, what? How can that be the case? They're a church that's in an even bigger mess than us. How could they not be missing anything? And Paul says it's true. God has given them two amazing presents. Now, where have I got them? There we go. Is anyone good at opening presents? Yeah. It's a very exciting present. Here, do you want to open that for us?
You have to see what's in there.
They may not look exciting. Just a warning, I don't want to big this up too much. There should be. It's okay to really rip it open if you want to, that's fine. What's inside? There's a Rice Krispie box. God gave them Rice Krispies. Was there anything inside the Rice Krispies?
Other than.
Oh, yeah, Rice Crackle, sorry. Is there anything in there? Oh, wow, there's a bit of paper. Are there two bits of paper in there? Oh, yeah, I think you got them both there. What are they? Can anyone tell me what they say? Knowledge and speaking. God has given them two amazing gifts. So verse 5, in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Now, speaking and knowing covers pretty much all of life, doesn't it? If our minds are changed and the way we speak are changed, well, then that covers pretty much everything we need. And Paul's response is to say thank you, not to the Corinthians. He says thank you to God. Verse 4, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. So, I don't know, my great aunt and uncle are really good at giving presents. They're really, really good at presents. And it'd be very strange at Christmas time, wouldn't it, to get out my pen and write myself a thank you letter. Dear Simon, thank you for the lovely presents. I enjoy it very much. Hugs and kisses, love, Simon. That'd be strange, wouldn't it? We wouldn't write a thank you letter to ourselves. We say thank you to the person who's given the gifts. And so Paul thanks the Corinthians. Paul thanks God that the Corinthians are not missing anything at all. So boys and girls and grown-ups, what does this mean for us? It means that if you're trusting Jesus, he's given you everything you need to live for him. So imagine I say to you, go and dig a hole. Go and dig a really big hole. But I'm not going to give you a spade. So you wouldn't get very far, would you? But if I give you a spade, whether it's a little one like this or a big one or a JCB excavator, you can really get digging with that, can't you? If we say, play football, but don't have a ball, it's really hard to do anything. But if we've got a ball, play away till we drop, it'd be amazing. If we say, draw a picture, draw a masterpiece, paint a masterpiece, but we don't have any paper or pencils or crayons or anything, it's impossible. But give you what you need. You can produce a masterpiece. It'll stay on the fridge forever. It'll be amazing. See, is God asking us, when he calls us to live for Jesus, to dig a hole without a spade or play football without a football, is he not giving us what we need? And the answer comes back from our passage this morning. Absolutely not. If you are trusting in Jesus, you have everything you need to live for him. If you're not trusting in Jesus, the Bible says you don't. In fact, Christian writers sometimes talk about a God-shaped gap right at the very heart of us. If you're not trusting Jesus, whether we're aware of it or not, there's something missing at the very heart of us that means we can't live for Jesus. But if we're trusting him, he gives us everything we need. If he didn't, Well, then I have all kinds of excuses. I can say I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too discouraged by all the things I've got wrong in the past. But God promises he gives us everything we need to live for Jesus with all our heart. Let's just think about how we apply these verses. If we're not missing anything that we need to live for Jesus, what do we need to do? And the phrase I was going to use is, I don't know if we come across this. Have we come across the phrase, check your privilege? It's a kind of culture war phrase. People sometimes say it. It's kind of often associated with the political left. People saying, it's often said in quite a hostile or aggressive way, but it's fundamentally a good point that if you're speaking into a situation, just be aware of how your experience of it may be different to someone else's. So when I start going on about a particular issue, it's just helpful to be aware of my privileges, all the things that I've had in my background, that I don't know what it's like to be physically disabled. I don't know what it's like to be sexually harassed. I don't know what it's like to be from an ethnic minority group. Check your privilege. And what I want to do is just turn that phrase around a little bit and encourage us to do that and just see what a wonderful thing it is to be as privileged as we are, to check our privilege. Because what I want to do is weaponize these verses this morning against self-pity and complacency in my heart. See, the Bible calls us to live all out for the Lord Jesus. And I hear something like that, and I think, you know what, it's a little bit like being asked to dig a hole without a spade. How am I going to live for Jesus when he hasn't given me what I need? There are so many things that feel so hard. Well, I'll get around to living for Jesus when life is a little bit easier. And I thought let's think through that in what that might look like in someone's life. Let's meet Corin from Corinth. And Corin is feeling very sorry for himself. He's saying, poor me. How can I live for Jesus when things around me are such a mess? See, church is just toxic. For Corin, praise God, I don't think this is precisely our issue. For Corin, he walks in on Sunday morning and it is a battleground. Everyone is at each other's throats, it feels like. There are lawsuits going on, chapter 6. Poor me. How do I cope in a church like that? My home group is so ungodly. Chapter 5. Did you hear what Charlie from my home group was doing with his mother-in-law? Shocking. His stepmother. Chapter 7. The married folk and the single folk are both equally unhappy. The married folk all wish they were single. The single folk all wish they were married. How can we live for Jesus when things feel so against us? Our culture, chapters 8 and 9, is so ungodly, and Corinth was just known for being an exceptionally wicked place, even by the standards of the Roman Empire. Chapter 15, there were all kinds of different opinions about life and after death. How could anyone know what was true? Poor me, Corin says, poor me. How can I live for Jesus like this? And then there's just, that, I mean, those are the issues specific to Corinth. There are the issues that are true for believers in every generation, addictions, anger, hurt, fear, betrayal, sickness. Poor me, until Jesus gives me what I need, I'm going to pull back from living wholeheartedly for him. Lean in to church, lean in to the Lord Jesus, no way. And I don't know if you recognize that voice, it's basically me. The situations in my life are different, but I am so quick to give in to self-pity, tell myself it's too hard, or to wait till life will be a little bit easier. So what does Paul say to Corinth, what does he say to me? Verse 5, in him you have been enriched in every way. If we've been given that gift of enriched in our speaking, in our knowledge, can we say poor me? And we're to say, rich me, rich me. So for Corin, he walks in on Sunday morning. Church is a war zone. But has God given him what he needs to live for Christ in that context? You see, he has first-hand experience of the greatest peace treaty in the history of the world because he's a Christian. He knows what it is to have his sins forgiven. He is sent out as an ambassador of the Prince of Peace. He has the Holy Spirit of Peace living in his heart. Does he need to wait for some kind of second blessing, some word of knowledge, some hidden secret of the Christian life? Those may come, those may be helpful. But does he need something he doesn't already have? What he needs is to appreciate what God has already given him. Poor me? No, rich me. And Corin goes home in the evening after work. Maybe he's married or maybe he's single, but either way, life is really difficult. Who is Corin as he walks through the door at the end of the day? He is someone who is in a covenant relationship with the perfect spouse, the Lord Jesus. As a Christian, he has someone who loves him, who knows him inside out, who understands his every need. Someone who is so quick to serve him. Someone who has promised to love and cherish and honor and protect him. Can I say poor me? No, I'm to say rich me. There is nothing I need to live for Jesus that he hasn't already given me. What I need is to appreciate what I already have. Or Corin goes to work and it's an incredibly ungodly place. It's full of swearing. There's an aggression there. There people are rude. People are angry. He walks into the factory or the office and his heart sinks. It's just a kind of cesspit of unpleasantness. But who is he as he walks into that building? He is someone who is in Christ. He is united to a Saviour who is, if I can put it like this, infectiously holy. See, when Jesus touched a leper, by all the rules of contamination, which we are so good at after the last 18 months, what happens? You know, at the very least, he needs to put some hand sanitizer on, doesn't he? Jesus is the one who needs to make sure he doesn't become unclean in that situation. But what happens? The leper becomes clean. Jesus is infectiously holy. And Corin and Jesus is sent out to do the same thing. He is sent out to be light in the midst of a very dark place. He is sent out to take this kind of life-giving, transforming, wholesome integrity in the midst of this deeply ugly situation. Does Corin need something he doesn't already have? No, he's the same as me. He needs to appreciate what he already has. Poor me? No, rich me. Corin maybe is facing fears of death. Maybe he's very ill. Maybe he's having panic attacks. I don't know. He's scared. There are so many different opinions. He doesn't know. No one knows what happens after we die. And yet, chapter 15, he's got the apostles' teaching. The apostle Paul, the same teaching that we have access to ourselves. We have these promises of God, of life forever and a new heaven and a new earth, of a world transformed and renewed. Poor me, no, rich me. See, if God wasn't faithful, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. If God wasn't faithful, those promises would be completely worthless. But he is. So they couldn't be more precious. Rich me. Rich me. Corin doesn't need something more. What he needs is to appreciate what he has already been given in the Lord Jesus. And that's true for the specific issues going on in Corinth. The truth for the realities of day-to-day life in every age. Maybe Corin is trying to help someone who's struggling with an addiction. Well, he is someone who has been set free from the greatest addiction that human beings face. The addiction to sin. He's struggling with anger. Well, verse 7, the Lord Jesus will be revealed shortly with perfect justice. Maybe he's struggling with fear. He doesn't know if he can keep going. Well, he's been told already, the end of the story, verse 8, he will keep you strong to the end so you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he's struggling with sickness or helplessness. But he's united to a Saviour who saved the world while he was fixed down and couldn't move a muscle. See, does Corin need something more that God has not already given him? Do I? Do we as a church? And what we need is to appreciate what God has already given us. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I kind of assume most of us are tempted at some level, have some kind of battle with self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. I do on a regular basis. And to think, well, look, I will get on with following Jesus wholeheartedly when life is a little bit easier, when he gives me more of the resources I need, when we're in just a better season. Paul says to us this morning, Simon, St. James, check your privilege. See how privileged you are. If you are in Christ, what are you missing that you need to live for him? Absolutely nothing. Maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're looking at following Jesus. You're saying, no, this is too hard for me. I couldn't keep going. You're absolutely right. You couldn't. But if you trust in the Lord Jesus, the promise is that he will give you everything you need to live for him. Therefore, verse 7, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Amen.